Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I always tell people sometimes I get to pastor situations where people have found themselves right in a deep hole, in the muck and in the mire. And I said, listen, you don't have the strength to kind of get out of this on your own. The only thing I can tell you is that if you can just turn your face to Jesus and just look at Him, He'll come down and reach and pull you out. It may be one step at a time, but He will pull you out because that's our faithful God. Amen. Well, it's good to have you all together. Amen. Hallelujah. Some faces that have popped in. Jay, it's nice to have you with us. It's nice that you could get here. And again, just a reminder, if you're here for the first time, grab the Connect card. Just fill it out for us. Go to the Connect corner. We've got a gift for you. And we're really happy that you could join us today. Just want a couple of announcements. Those that are joining us for lunch afterwards, lunch with the pastor. So we do this. And if you didn't get your name down, just come anyway, because I saw how much food they put in the kitchen. It's just going to be a whole bunch, and I don't want to be eating this for the rest of the week. So I really would love you to come and finish the meal, and so I don't have leftovers, that tempting leftovers in the refrigerator. It causes furniture disease. You know that, when your chest falls into your drawers. Us men have that furniture disease. So, hallelujah. So that's at 12:30. Come to our house. If you want to grab that address, there's cards on the Connect table. Grab it and come along. To your right is a visual. We are going to take this mortgage and kick it out of our bank balance, and we want to just annihilate it. So I have a faith kite that we can 2021, we will not see that any longer. So we started a few months back with 180,000 that we wanted to just kind of push back, and we're now down to 162,000 and change. As a church, we put $3,000 a month into that, and so I know that people have come to me and said, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Listen, I'm in the preaching business. I'm not in the business. So if you've got grand ideas, Jerry, stand up. I told you I was going to throw you under the bus. Come with all your ideas. Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to tell them? Okay.
You asked for it.
All right, you can get under the chair there if you feel like it. My wife, you all right? You good? Okay, I'm going to be a little bit serious here about some stuff. It might get a little political, but oh well, it's just going to... I ain't been coached in this. This is all me. So you guys know during the COVID, parts of our government, whether you want to believe it or not, tried to shut the churches down and the gatherings and all that. And there's still parts of our government that would not be allowed us to gather right now. Right? So then they print a bunch of money for everybody that probably don't even need it. Right? And these COVID checks. And I think what we should do, if you get a check, now I'm not telling you what to do with your money. I'm not. But I think it'd be pretty cool if we use some of that COVID money to fire a shot back at them and let them help us pay off our church. Oh. That's it.
Ah, Jerry. All right. Well, they say spend it before you waste it, okay? Hallelujah. So, we really want to just push it over. The reason why is, Val and I need to employ somebody else, another couple, to be able to come and help us. It's just because of the growth that's coming down the road, it's just going to be something that I have to do. And so I want to get, if I can get that mortgage payment out the way, it'd be fantastic to be able to. Yeah. So then you're investing in people and in lives, and that has an eternal return. And this is brick and mortar, and I know that we have to. But I'm telling you, in this COVID time, I'm so grateful we had a building. I know these poor churches are... Life Coast and all of them, they had a challenge in the school halls to be able to just do that. So please prayerfully consider it. I don't twist arms. I know God moves on your heart. I trust the Jesus in you. So I know there's a whole lot of stuff in your storage that's been there, and you've been paying storage forever. Sell the stuff. Bring it and put it into the storehouse. Let's just get us paid. And I know God will give you all sorts of creative ideas. I've also been challenged why we need to try and get a better interest rate. I'm going to try this. This is a commercial loan. This is not a residential loan. So we're just very grateful for the kindness of the bank that trusted us, that when we went to them, they said, oh, we'll lend you the money. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to – we're looking at that. And also just Kim Patton's going to be the dean of the Bible school, and that starts in the fall. If you're interested in Bible school, it's a two-year course. You come out with credentials. You come out with ordinations, and we want to be able to give you that opportunity. Just get your name to the Connect Corner so we can see that. We've got a trip to the Holy Land trip coming up, and that's in November 2022. If you're interested there as well, we're looking for numbers. So if you can just give everybody that information at the Connect Corner. So hallelujah. I just want to welcome again those online. We miss you, and we're grateful that you tuned in. We really want you to get ministered by the Word of God. And Dr. Scott. Finished his duty down in Okeechobee at 7 this morning and drove up so he could fellowship. Man, I talk about. And I just love seeing your face here. It's just great. I want to get them up sometime to share of their involvement and getting a hospital built in Kenya, and it's functioning. He also takes students across there in the early part of the year and expose them to a traveling clinic through Kenya. So you do a great work. We're just amazed by what God has done and is going to do, and all the lives that are going to be touched and healed through that facility. And I am excited to hear the Word of God this morning. And Mr. Barry, come on up. Let me pray for you, my friend. We're really grateful. Thank you so much. This man's pastored longer than I have served Jesus. And so and I just love the way he ministers the Word. And so he kind of is on to the theme of what we're doing this year. So, Father, thank you for Barry. I thank you that we receive his gift today. We open our hearts to the Word. And, Father, that we be challenged and changed and stirred up as he ministers this morning. And we give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Are you on, my brother? You are.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Yes, you're on. Trying to stick with the theme that the pastors have for us, if I get it right, is fearless and faithful. So trying to stick with that theme, it popped into my head, David and Goliath. And so I started just playing around with those ideas in my head, and then I thought maybe I got a message together, and I told the pastor about it, and he has been so kind, and Val has been so kind to do that. Didn't know it at the time you were going to open that thing right there. What a great mission. I don't know whether we would, after I get done, I don't know whether we would call that a mission, but that's good. This is our mission to do this. Or we call that the Goliath. I'm not sure which one. Yeah, I think you'll see after I preach a little bit. Okay, a couple of things. The text that I'm going to preach on this morning is 1 Samuel 17, beginning with roughly the 17th verse and going through the 51st verse, just pretty much contains the information of David and Goliath. Now, obviously, there are other things in David's life and there are other things you might learn, but I think that will be that's about as short as you can get it, too. I mean, verse 17 through. So if you want to follow up and study on this, which I think it's a great study, you might do that. One of the phrases that comes out of this is, and I'm not going to put it in any context here yet, okay? I don't have time to do everything. Well, I guess I do. But one of the great phrases, and I'm going to try and give it to you. And so you may find a place to use it. David finds out about Goliath. Goliath comes out, and David's there. He's up on the hill with his brothers. And you know where I'm going with this? And Goliath comes out, and David does this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Have you ever used that phrase just in your head? Thank you. Have you ever used that? I'm going to give it to you. Use it. It's a great phrase. And you have to have a little scorn with it. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And you got to raise that question time and time again. Okay. Anyway, David and Goliath have become synonymous with the weak overcoming the strong, or the small triumphing over the large. And so just David and Goliath has come to mean that. It's so true. I mean, we're always surprised when it happens, but it's so true. It's just everywhere if you just look for it. Ecclesiastes put it this way. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. That's the way it's in Ecclesiastes put that way. I know it's other places, but that's one of the things. Our fairy tale has it this way. Fairy tales tell us truths too, you know. A fairy tale has the tortoise and the hare. And, of course, the tortoise wins. This is a common story. How ordinary people do extraordinary things. Nice thinking. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. America is a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things. That's why people from all over the world want to come to America. Because they are like you, or we are like them, however you want to put it. We have a feeling down deep in our hearts that we can be better and do more. That's just a feeling that most humans have, and they want to come here to be able to express that. David and Goliath, a shepherd boy defeats a giant warrior. Just how does that happen? Just what's the nuts and bolts of that? And we'll look at some of that in just a minute. To say that God was with him still just begs the question, how does that happen? And I dare say that a lot of you have God with you this morning. Matter of fact, maybe even all of you. I don't know. I know you're the cream of the crop. Oh no, you are. You made it here this morning. You got up. You're the champions. You're the warriors that got yourself dressed and came here and faced even a drop or two of rain getting here. Yeah. But just how do you face overwhelming odds? Because down deep we know, if we do, that greatness and beauty will flow from it, as it did with David. This sermon is a case for misfits and underdogs to prevail over the Goliaths of this world. This story that you can read in 34 verses, we're going to read some of it this morning, okay, has been blessing people for over 3,000 years. And my prayer is that it will inspire us today to do more and be better. Now, I just have 3 points for this. Okay? Just 3 points. Point number one. Do we have a slide for that? Okay, point number one. You need a mission. That's what you need. If you don't have one, oh, by the way, if you're married, you got a mission. Amen? You got kids? You got a mission. Huh? And the list goes on, whatever. But you need a mission. You see, David was there. And by the way, verses 17 and 18 tell the story. David was there not to kill Goliath. Who knows why David was there? Why was he? He was there to take care of his brothers and to see about his brothers. His father, Jesse, told him back home you take this ephah of parched grain, you take 10 loaves and 10 cheeses, and you go see your brothers and see how they're doing, and then bring me assurance back. And we're not sure what the assurance is. It might have been part of the plunder or something, whatever, I don't know. We don't know what that is. It might have just been his word that he saw him. But you go over there and you check on them, and then you come back. He was on a mission. You need a mission. It will get you moving. It'll get you up off the sofa. Without a mission here, there is no David and Goliath. And I want to talk to you about the power of a mission. A mission will get you out of your comfort zone. One of my friends called me, and it's been a few weeks ago, and he says, "Man, I feel terrible. I'm awful." He was down in Brazil, is where he was at. And we got all this to do and that to do, and he's not even in his own country, and the COVID is looking bad. And he said, I don't know. He said, "Lord, I just don't know how the Lord fits into this." I said, "You know, sometimes the Spirit of God gets us out of our comfort zone, and we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable." That's what happens to us, okay? And your mission will get you out of your comfort. I interviewed the pastor now before this sermon, okay? But when you were in South Africa, you got a mission to come here? Oh, my. Without that mission, there's no coastal church and many, many other things. There isn't even this challenge there without them doing that mission. You need a mission. It doesn't have to be your final destination. I know we always hear these stories and we make fun of them that I was climbing the ladder of success only to find out it was against the wrong building. Yeah, you hear those stories all the time. And so that's an excuse for them not to have a mission. Well, I would tell you probably God had to teach you how to climb ladders. You know how to do that now? Get it against the right building and you'll do better. You need a mission. Don't be afraid of them. The mission is the vehicle that will get you to the next challenge. And if you don't have a mission, I pray you get one right away. Just get yourself one. You need it. You'll be lazy and fat, dull, and without getting out there and doing something. And you know, sometimes let's do something even if it's wrong. Then we find out it's wrong. We do the right thing. But do something. You need a mission. It will give you meaning and purpose and direction. Without a mission, you don't have those things. Even people without Jesus Christ in their life, even people without Christ in their life, know this down deep. It gives me a reason to get up in the morning. You may even find out you don't even need an alarm clock anymore when you have a mission that's important to you. You'll get up and get going, okay? That's point number one. You need a mission. David had a mission, and he wasn't there to kill Goliath. He was there to check on his brothers because his daddy told him to do that. Probably 20-mile journey, I think, to get there. He probably had an animal with him. Okay. Next point is you've got to be yourself. The text says that when he was going to go fight Goliath, that he stopped by the king's tent, and the king wanted to outfit him for the battle ahead. Okay? And so I can just see this small, I don't know what you have in your mind. I got him about 14, maybe 17, not 18, because 18 you got to get married and all that kind. So he wasn't 18, okay? So he was, that's the way I see him, okay? And then I can see him in this tent putting on. Saul was a big man. I don't know if you know it or not. He was a big man. He was a big man himself. But he got all this Saul's gear on him, okay? Maybe a breastplate, tunic, and sword, and helmet and tried to walk around the tent. I can just see him. You know, it looked like one of the grandkids on dress up day, you know. And he turns to and he tells, he said, I can't go in these. See, because it wasn't him. God had called him. God wanted him there. If Saul, if all that armor and stuff that Saul had was so good, why did he use it to go down there and kill Goliath? He wasn't able. He'll kill Goliath like that. He'll kill Goliath like a David, like a shepherd. And we'll come back. We'll come back to that. But that's, you know, and I know this is one of the hardest things to learn in the ministry. I don't know where you are on this continuum, guys, so I can't speak to you. Okay, I hope I'm speaking to you. But I can't speak about you. I can only speak about me. I know how this is probably the hardest one to learn because it's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. There's a fine line in there. And you got to watch for it, okay? If you get over into arrogance, God will humble you there. Just the way it works, okay? But you got to stay in confidence. But I know down deep that this is the biggest issue because we all are filled with this self-doubt. And we're really comfortable with our sin. I mean, we know that it's there and all that kind of thing. And we can whine about it all in any given moment. We can do that. But the truth of the matter is God has created you. And he has called you, not someone else. And I know that Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. You got to do it your way or the way God created you. I know I'm trying to get this across, okay? I want you to get this, okay? Because this is the hardest of all because, again, we're so easily down on ourselves and that kind of thing. But no, God has fearfully and wonderfully created who you are. And it's you. You have the specific, and this is a hard one to get, I know, and I hope you see it, and David, maybe you'll start seeing it in yourself, that you're perfect. I know that's hard. I know. But can you see David was absolutely perfect? Can you see that about David? We'll talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of killing Goliath in a minute, okay? But he was absolutely perfect. Saul couldn't do it. The big, loudmouth, blathering brothers of him couldn't do it. The army couldn't do it. But here come David, and he what? He didn't know he couldn't do it. So he did it. Yes. But this is the hardest one to get. Life can become difficult at any time. And life can become brutal and daunting at any moment. But I want to remind you of who you are and what you have. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. And when you show up, no matter where you show up, you have your education, that is what you've learned, and you have your experience. And that's what David had. And that's exactly what he takes into that valley. And his experience of his past was, there you go. Some of these people have been reading their Bibles. Said, I kill a lion. Now listen. Lion came into the flock and took a sheep and left with it. I caught the lion and wouldn't even allow the lion to keep the parcel of lamb that he had taken, and I killed the lion. A bear came in. Now listen to him, he says. Came into the flock. Listen to how he's putting it. And took a lamb. But what did he do? He run the bear down and killed the bear and took the lamb back. Not a live one. Don't leave a parcel there. Because if you leave a parcel there, by the way, you know what rats do with food? Do you know what they do with food? They make more rats with them. I think David's genius. No, we're not even going to leave this for your cubs. No. So he shows up with this is the experience. This is what he has. And guess what he has learned? He has learned how to use a sling and use it proficiently, and that he will do. I just want to remind you that you are fearful. We can see that in David, can't we? Can we? Can we see it? That's not the hard part. The hard part is beginning to see that in yourself and in the world around you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, Goliath expects someone to come down there and meet him toe to toe, mano on mano. That's what he expects. But the Israelites cheat. Instead of sending a man, they send a boy. Instead of sending a warrior, they send a shepherd. I call that cheating. Kids have a real sense of fairness. They really do. Every once in a while, my kids would tell me I'm being unfair or the world is unfair. Every once in a while, they would do that. Okay. And when we were living on Lindenthal Street in Highland, Illinois, I told him, I said, now, if you want fair, okay, down at the end of the street, a few blocks down, they'll set it up in somewhere around July. It'll be there for 3 weeks. You go down there and get all the fare you want, because that's all you'll get. Because life isn't fair. By the way, that was quoted in a movie, and my kids called me and said, you got to go see that movie. Okay. And so here, the Israelite army cheat. Because here, they're expecting one thing, and they do quite another. And I always tell people, oh, don't ever cheat. No, unless you absolutely have to win. My wife's back there, please, no. Okay, all right, right? Okay, so they cheat, and they expect David to come down there and go toe-to-toe, and instead he scurries around in the bushes. He just doesn't do what's expected. Of course, that's exactly what it takes to win the day. Another thing about this, this is a real judgment call. Just from looking at the text, and obviously I think I have a little feel for David and that kind of thing. When David went down into that valley, and we'll talk again about this in the next point. When David went down in that valley, he didn't go down there to kill Goliath. Now, wait a minute. Hang on a second. He didn't really, in his heart, he didn't go down there to kill Goliath. You know what he did? He was going down there to protect Israel. He killed Goliath as a shepherd taking care of his flock. That's important, I think. That's important to see. And I think if you'll give it some thought, that you'll come out with that. You'll come out with that too. But that's not what he was doing there. Okay. That brings me, I think, to the last point here. I think that's it. That brings me to the last point. And the last point is God. No. Yeah. I forgot something. I got to add it on the end of it, okay? Let me make a note here. I'll get that. Okay. This is the point. God will provide. And this is a faith thing. And you can only learn this by living faith. You can't get this ahead of time. And but God, that is, when you get down in the valley and you face the Goliath of your day, when you face the Goliath of this world, and God has brought you there, He has provided, if the provision is right there. Okay, I remember, I've got a story about this. I remember preaching this one time. I don't know where I got. It's got to be right here. Okay, does David have everything he needs when he goes down into that valley? Go like this. No. No, he does not. He does not. He's going into the valley, but he doesn't have everything he needs. What does he need that he doesn't have? There's two things, but stones is one of them. So he goes down there in the valley, and what could be more common than pebbles in that Wadi stream? Nothing. Nothing. They've been there for thousands of years or waiting on David to get there. So he reaches down, he picks up the stones that he needs there in the valley. Okay? But it's hard to... So I get to preaching, you know, and I said, oh, it's got to be right here. And that's what the text says, does it? That it was right there in his knees. He reached out, picked them up, and off he goes. Now he's equipped. Okay? So, Joan and I and one of the grandbabies, we were delivering a horse to North City, Illinois. It's way out in the boonies. And this has had to be, I think we looked it up, probably 1993, something like that. The grandkid was Taylor, and she was probably 2 years old. Had her in the truck with us, and anyway, so we get down there, and we're out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, this is nowhere. It's out in the sticks, and nobody's around, that kind of thing. And we got the horse out in the pasture and turned it loose where it was supposed to be, and went to get back into the truck, and I'd locked the keys in the truck. No cell phones. This is before cell phones, or at least I had. I didn't have a cell phone. Probably wasn't any service there anyway. Have you had that feeling? What does that feel like? That feels like just stupid. Huh? Yeah, look over there. There's my wife with a 2-year-old child, and I'm out here in the middle of nowhere with a truck that won't run. How stupid and goofy. Just attack you. We're used to that. Used to thinking that way, right? And what would that feeling do for you? Absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, it'll make your day go bad if you live there. Now, I don't know, for some weird reason, I said, Barry, you got to practice what you preach. Sometimes you do. Amen? All right, once in a while you got to do that. And so I said, well, okay, it's got to be here. The answer has, if the problem's here, the answer has to be here. Oh, no, I probably preached that. So I went over to the fence, and there was some copper wire. It was pretty good size. A little bit smaller maybe than the end of your little finger. It was really anyway, and the length of it, I don't know what it was doing there. It was, maybe it wired the gate shut. I don't know what it was doing there. I took that over and put that in the truck and boom, we're in the truck. And it dawned on me, that's right. That's the way it works. God provides. It has to be here. It just has to be here. And so God provided the answer. Boy, was I relieved. And I never did ask her what she thought about it. I don't know. I sometimes you just don't do that. So. Are you feeling called to preach here tonight? You like that? That would have worked. That would have worked really well.
That would have worked really well.
Now the other thing. He uses that sling, and he puts the stone right where it belongs, right in his forehead. And it says that the stone sunk into his head with the force. And it's not, that's not unusual. These were quite a formidable weapon. And he hits the ground. Now David needs something else that he doesn't have. What does he need? He needs a sword. Thankfully, Goliath brought him one. Yes. By the way, this is the way the world works. That every time you face a big Goliath in your life, there's a nugget of benefit in that Goliath. And the only way that you can find it, or the only way that you can get it, is to embrace that problem. You can't have it any other way. And you will find out that even your problems bring you gifts if you know how to look for them. It even goes deeper than that, because I venture to say that Goliath became the catapult that got him to the throne. If you know what I'm talking about in terms of reading the text and understanding, because as soon as they got to town, everybody was saying, "We blessed be Saul, he has killed the thousands. Blessed be David, he's killed 10,000. And what's that marking? That's marking the end of Saul and the beginning of David. And by the way, he cut that head off and he took it to his tent. He had a trophy. That's because somebody will say, "Well, no, that didn't happen." Oh, yes, it did. Look at here. Oh, yes. Yes, it did. Look at here. And that was not an easy task to do. Okay. But I'm hoping that just get a feel of this, that you'll take on the Goliaths that come to you, or that you're going to them, that you'll take them on. I want to end this by telling you a story about Katie, okay? Power of a mission, tackling life, that kind of thing. So we were in this church, and I was pastoring this church, and it was in Edwardsville, is where Southern Illinois University was in there. It was a big deal, okay? It was a big, so we wanted to have some kind of ministry there, and we did. And we always had students coming into our church and that kind of thing. That was really good. And Katie was one of them that came in. We didn't know her family or anything. She just showed up in church, and they're okay, you know, and fine. She's part of the youth group and that kind of thing. But she came to me one Sunday and she says, I want to come work on the farm. And you knew I had farm and horses and cattle and that kind of thing. Want to come work. Now she has a stated mission. Now she would have never talked like that. Okay, what was her mission? Come work on the farm. A good mission, right? So I don't know if this kid can work. I don't know that, okay? But it's free. Free labor. Come on now. There's always something to do, right? I gave her a job, whatever that job was. It's probably sweeping the hallway or something like that. You know, you want to work here? And I got other things I'm doing. And now the hallway's 12 foot by 100 feet. Okay, so it's big enough. Okay. I don't know what she did. Okay, but she did fine and that kind of thing. And so Joan and I, we needed the house painted. I said, well, hire you. I'll hire you to paint the house. She says, I have a friend that I know who will help. I said, well, we'll take them both. Now what's she doing? She's got a job making money. Just a simple mission to work on the farm. Now she's got a job making money. So she, and they do a great job. Her and Jake, they do a great job. Okay, so that's going good. So we have a big trail ride that we go on to get ready for the big hunt in Colorado. And so we got all these horses and stuff. We take them out. And so Katie wants to go along. So I got a horse for her. And we get all tacked up. Joan is along on her good horse. And so we're all going on a ride. And I look around. Katie's nowhere to be found. I wonder where Katie is. Well, she was dropping back with the hired hand of the guy down the street from me. His name was Ryan. I didn't know this, okay? So I look around, I find, well, they're pairing up back there, as young people tend to do. It's not very long. I'm doing a wedding at Mills Apple Farm. I checked with Tom and Linda. They actually know where Mills Apple Farm is on Pocahontas Road. I did a wedding there. It's been a few years ago now that she calls, and her and Ryan are going to stop by the house down here. So they come down. They got three kids. It began with a simple mission. They got three kids. They got all their belongings loaded up, and they're going to Guatemala to build a hospital. They got four kids now. Hospital's built. No telling what they're doing now. If you ask me who's successful in life, I think it'd be a hard time saying anybody is more successful than Katie. Amen? And it all started with a simple mission. I want to work on a farm. God and life and the world is like that. It's only waiting for you. Everything you need, if you don't have it when you go there, it will be there. I don't care what it is. And I just hope you get inspired. Now, we didn't talk about how we was going to end this thing this morning. So, well, I'm going to quit. I'm not in this. I'm going to quit. And please, Pastor, if you need to do something, you do it. Okay? God bless.
Barry caught me the first time he ever preached. I have the microphone right next to me now because he just said, that's it, Pastor, and walked off the stage. And I think, whoa, I'm still absorbing your last point. And I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But that was wonderful. Man, there is so much to chew on there. Good night. That's David and Goliath 2.0. Wow. So there's Goliath that we all have. And they seem larger than life. But I know our God is huge. Yeah. And our God is on our side. And if you have him in your corner, that's the way to go. And some people don't have him because they just maybe didn't know. But he made all the way through Jesus Christ so that he can be in your corner. But he doesn't come and impose himself in your corner. He comes by invitation. So if you want to invite him into your corner and invite him into your life, we're going to, as a church, we're going to pray out loud. And just mean this from your heart, because he knows where your heart is. And just invite him into your life, because when you do, he starts working from the inside out. Because what you see now on the outside of Rod wasn't there 40 years ago, or 44 years ago now. It was yuck, yuck. And so when I put him into my life, he started working things out, and changing my values, changing my views, giving new vision. And so I have a story like Kate. Somebody who never did well at all in Zimbabwe and now sits here in America seeing God do amazing things. And I'm just surprised. Amen. And delighted. But it started by me inviting Jesus into my life, because I really was a train wreck waiting to happen, because I didn't really have a good deal in my own life and control. So let me just pray for you and just mean it from your heart. So church, if you just pray this out loud, just to help those around you that haven't prayed this, just invite Jesus. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and that you died on that cross for me. Today, I invite you into my life and ask you to be my Lord and leader and Savior. Help me walk with you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I just want to do one more thing. See if I can do this thing. I can. No, I'm not going to sing. I don't want the anointing to leave the house, okay? I have to sing. I want to pray for some folk, and there are needs in the house that I don't know, and some I do. But I know that the dad of the universe, God Almighty, he says, I will gather with my people, create a place, create an environment, and I can come and cohabit with you. And I sense he's here today to touch some real needs. And I've heard some needs, and I know of some needs, but some I don't. Whether it's financial, relational, you know, just emotional. And you either can just put your hand up where you're at. You can stand where you're at. You can just somehow acknowledge that you need us as the leadership and the family of God to agree with you for your need. If you would do that, just stand where you're at. Put your hand up if you have that. Some are standing. Some have got hands up. But the Father knows. So, Father, I thank you. You know every need in the house, and I don't want to leave those that are watching us on live stream. Just acknowledge. Just put your hand up where you're at, or stand up where you're at, or kneel where you're at. But you bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. And, Father, I stand here as well, standing. And so, Father, I thank you that every need in the house is seen by you right now. I thank you that you come with your loving arms, that come with a touch of love, a touch of provision, and I thank you for that, my God. So, Father, I thank you that as you do, you come and meet the needs. There's provision right here. As David had in the valley, Father, there was provision. So, Father, I thank you for providing. I thank you as a church, we know that you are in the midst of us. We're not alone. And we are known as God's people. And so, Father, I know whether you're walking in the wilderness, you provided manna. Whether you went into the promised land, you beat the giants, my God. You are with us every step of the way. And so, Father, as we've come together to fellowship, to worship you, to acknowledge you as our King and as Lord, we know today you touch, you deliver, you set free. And all those that believe it, say amen, amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. If the lights are on or the lights are off, is there Yes Coffee today? What's happening? Was Yes Coffee in the house? Yes Coffee is in the house. Do not miss Yes Coffee. And also, remember, lunch with the pastor. And if you don't have a lunch appointment, come to my house. You've got meal.
Just so that you know, anything that you purchase from Yes Coffee on a Sunday, whatever they make goes to missions.